that come into our congregation, those that we see, do we treat others with prejudice? Do we treat others with grace and mercy, or do we treat them with prejudice and favoritism? And we saw that that has no place in the church. That has no place in the body of believers. Now we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 2, and we're going to read through to verse 26. My text is going to be 14, verses 14 through 26. The title of my message is Faith Wanted, Alive. Starting in verse 1, it says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showeth no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And starting in verse 14, it says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath fruit, or that he hath faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture which was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works the man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out on another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The purpose that I want to convey tonight is that every Christian would examine his faith and see if it is an active faith, a live faith, or is it a dead faith? Most all of us, if not all of us, would claim to have faith. But for some of us, it doesn't go beyond a beautiful little plaque on the wall or on a shelf that says, Have faith, or Faith, Hope, and Love, or In this house we have faith. Something like that. And I'm not saying anything against those. I'm sure we have plaques in the house that have that too. What I'm saying is that for some of us, It doesn't go beyond that. That's the extent of our faith on those plaques, on those signs, on those pictures. What about your faith? Is it something that you practice living by on a daily basis, or is it something that you believed you were saved through once upon a time, and that was the extent of that? Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Revelation 4:11. Why would you be quoting a verse out of Revelation? What does that have to do with faith? Let's look over at Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So consequently, if our created purpose is to please God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, how important do you think it is to live by faith on a daily basis? How important do you think it is to walk by faith? Let's look at what James has to say about it. First, there is saving faith. So he says, let me go back here. He says, in verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith," "though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" So can faith save you? Are you saved by faith? Well, let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9. What does that say? "For by faith are you saved through grace." All right? No, that's not what it says. It says, "For by grace, are ye saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. This is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay, so is there a conflict here? Because James is talking about, you know, that our works should reflect our faith, but then it's not of our works that we're saved. So how do we make sense of all this? We aren't saved by our faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And it says here that faith isn't even in and of ourselves. Faith is the gift of God. So that isn't even anything that we can boast about. We can't even boast about saying that I had faith in God and God saved. No, because that was the gift of God itself. God gave you the gift of faith when He drew you unto Himself and saved you. So He gave you that faith as a channel through which you could be saved by God's grace. So we're not saved by faith. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. So there's that saving faith initially. The only kind of faith that is related to salvation is faith which works through love. And that's found in Galatians. I want to read that really quick. Galatians 5, verse 6. It says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision," get this, "but faith which worketh by love." But faith which worketh by love. So that's the only kind of faith that is related to salvation, that faith which works through love. So we establish what saving faith is. Next, faith, dead or alive. Faith, dead or alive. Let's look at some examples. What are some examples of a faith that is alive? Well, Pastor just preached out of a whole chapter that is very inclusive of several examples of people that had a faith that was very much alive. Let's look at some of those. There's Joseph. Joseph that was sold into slavery, unjustly thrown into prison after trying to do what is right, but yet he remained faithful and true to God, trusting that God had a purpose in all of it and that God would see him through to that. And he remained faithful. Daniel had a faith that was alive. He was captured by the Babylonians, yet he remained faithful in everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not defy God when faced with the fiery furnace, but had faith that God could deliver them. Abraham left everything that he knew and that he was familiar with to go out not knowing where he went. And to top that, he was willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, because he trusted that God was faithful who promised. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Rahab, the harlot, despite risking her life and that of her family, had faith that God would protect her. And she acted upon that faith and hid the spies. David had faith that God would deliver a towering, valiant, intimidating giant into his hands. He had no battle skills. And he knew that there wasn't anything in and of himself that could take that giant down. But he had faith in God despite the odds. Joshua and Caleb saw how big the giants in Canaan were. But through faith, they came back confident that God would give them the victory. We sang this morning, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. They had faith that they could conquer these giants, that they weren't even a match for the Israelites because they had God on their side. Job, when he lost everything, remained faithful and declared, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Paul and Silas preached the word of God. And when severely beaten and thrown into jail, what was their reaction? They sang praises to God. That was an act of faith. The widow that only had two mites, a fraction of our penny's worth, but by faith gave all that she had. Wow. That's a pretty impressive list of acts of faith, works of faith. Now let's look at some examples of dead faith. Let's look at King Saul. Did he go after Goliath? Was his attention and his focus and his faith in God? No. It was in his army. And it was in his own strength. That's why he didn't attack. He had a dead faith. The other 10 spies, what did they see through faith? Nothing. Because they weren't looking at those giants through faith. They saw the greatness of the land, but they saw the giants and they said, we're as grasshoppers in their sights. We're no match for them. Quite a contrast to the faith that Caleb and Joshua had. The Israelites, time and time again, saw God's miraculous works. Yet time and time again doubted God's goodness and faithfulness, went worshiping after a golden calf, murmured about no food, complained about having no water, griped about only having bread to eat, manna, doubted God's deliverance into the land of Canaan, and thus forfeiting the promised land for wandering around in the desert wasteland. The Pharisees prayed out loud and proud, gave big offerings, and were esteemed highly and respected by society, but they knew nothing about saving faith. In fact, they wanted to add circumcision to faith and saying that you couldn't be saved if you weren't circumcised. The Sadducees, highly respected by society, perhaps considered religious scholars of their day, yet denied the power of the resurrection and were dead in their sins, despite an appearance of faith. So among those two extremes, where do you find yourself? Where do you find your faith? Those are acts of faith. And then a lack of faith. Nothing. Dry, dusty, stagnant. Maybe an appearance of faith. But nothing there to act upon. So let's look at what does your faith look like? What does your faith look like? James 2:18 says, "Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee that my faith by my works." Is your faith acted out in your daily living? Do you walk by faith and not by sight? Does it change your perspective and cause you to act in mercy and in love for others in need? Does it cause you to sing and to give praise to God when everything seems to be going wrong? Does it compel you to give of yourself even when you don't think that you have anything left to give? It almost seems like James here has transitioned in chapter 2, but it really hasn't. He's still talking to the same people. And he's still talking to the same church. If you notice, if you remember back in chapter 1, he's talking about trials primarily, but he talks about faith. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Worketh patience. Makes me think of Job. What did that produce in his life? It tried his faith. And produced patience in him. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then he says again, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask what? In faith. Oh, wait. So this isn't something totally different. He's really tying this all together, it seems. And then he goes on in chapter 2 to talk about partiality and favoritism. Why? Because he's pointing out that that's not what faith looks like. That's not the works of faith. That's the works of the flesh. That has no part in our church. Why? Because that has no part in faith. That's not the works of faith, that's the works of the flesh in and of ourselves. So there's not so much of a transition here as we may think initially. He actually is really tying it all together. So what does your faith look like? What does your faith look like amid trials and testings? What does your faith look like when you come across somebody that you really don't want to meet, you really don't want to stick out a handshake to, you really don't want to offer anything? They might smell, they might look weird, they might act weird. What does your faith look like then? What does your faith look like when you get a flat tire? What does your faith look like when your bank account's empty? What does your faith look like when the doctor comes back with unexpected news? Those are all very real life situations. Bad days hit us just about every week. What does your faith look like then? What does your faith look like then? As James 2:26 states, as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So we must examine our hearts and our faith to see, is it alive? Is it active? Is it alive to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And it's recognizing and beware that faith is not of yourselves.
Let us beware of that and not think that that's just something that we got to work on. We got to work on building up our faith. We got to work on our walk with the Lord and our faith. You know, I just got to get more faith. No, that's a gift of God. He's the one that gave it to you. Ask Him to increase your faith. Ask Him to strengthen your faith, to grow you in your faith, to mature you in your faith. Because it's not yours. It's the gift of God. So that you have no reason to boast. So is your faith alive? Is it alive to the working of the Holy Spirit in your lives? Is it tender to the things that God would have you to learn and to grow your faith? Like I said, James says over here in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How many of you like to work out? Nobody? Really? Why? Because it hurts. It's labor. But let's just say we get a snowfall. I hope not at this point. But you're out there shoveling snow. The next day you're like, man, my abs are really killing me and my back. Why? Because that produces growth. It shreds your muscles and then they grow back bigger and stronger. It's kind of like our faith. When it's tried, when it's tested. I love that song that we sang, How Firm a Foundation. Because he says, I got to read it. I don't want to butcher it. Let me look this up really quick. He says in that fourth verse, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient. For thee shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. If we allow Him to have His perfect work in our hearts and in our lives, He uses those hard times. He tries our faith through those challenging circumstances to grow us and to strengthen us in our faith, that we may be prepared to meet bigger challenges ahead. Where's your faith? Is it strong? Is it alive? Or is it stale, stagnant, and dried up with an appearance of maybe being religious, but not walking or living by faith? Where's your faith tonight? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage, for this challenge from James to look at our faith, to recognize that it's not in and of ourselves, that it's the gift of God. And to examine our own hearts. Do we act by faith on a daily basis? Do we practice our faith? Do we work out our faith with fear and trembling? That you may strengthen us and grow us in our faith. Oh God, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for continuing to work on us. We ask that you would continue to work in our hearts and in our minds and our lives through these words of James from your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last